Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
He said, I expect to die in bed. My successor will die in prison, and his successor will die a martyr. His successor will pick up the shards of a ruined society and help rebuild civilization, as the church has so often done in human history.
This is a solid case. Classical historians would sell their grandmothers to get this kind of corroborating evidence for the authorship of secular works of antiquity.
There's countless stories of the praise and worship leaders who end up losing their faith altogether, and it's no wonder. This is a dangerous place to find yourself as the manipulator of both God and man.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
The early history of the church, often populated by these people that we call the church fathers, is really a chronicle of the church's ongoing mission. Missionaries, in fact, many, if not all of them in one form or another, are missionaries of antiquity. Cyril and Methodius, two names that always go together because they were brother missionaries, only one of which we remember in any real substance today. Cyril, because of the alphabet that he helped spawn. They're remembered by the church on this day, May the 11th, from the 9th century, the brother missionaries to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor James Krikova will join us here for the first half hour or so. In this hour, we're going to remember 9th century missionary brothers to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius. After that, we'll teach a Sunday school lesson on Paul and Silas in and out of prison in Acts chapter 16 with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel. You can join us with questions or comments as well. 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc or leave a question or a comment on the Issues Etc. comment line any time of day or night, 618-223-8383. Joining us to remember 9th century missionary brothers to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius, Pastor James Krikova. He's Associate Region Director for Eurasia Missions of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Spent 16 years as a missionary to Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic, and he is Luther Academy Regional Fellow for Europe. He joins us from Prague. Pastor Krikova, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. It's nice to be with you.
How important was the work that was done by these brother missionaries back in the 9th century to Christianity today, to the kind of work that you do there in the Czech Republic today?
Well, I would say very important, even though the fate of Cyril and Methodius was a little bit sad. Their story began in a big way and ended kind of with a fizzle, but their preaching of the gospel certainly lasted. I can tell you the story if you want to hear it, but Cyril and Methodius were brothers from Thessalonica. They were called among the Slavic people the brothers from Saloon because that's how they heard the word Thessalonica. and the Slavic people were sort of migrating south towards Thessalonica, and they were trading with the Greeks down there. And so these two brothers were a likely pick. And by the way, it wasn't Cyril and Methodius, it was Constantine and Methodius. Constantine received the name Cyril later when he actually was done with his mission work there in a monastery back home before he died. But they were, because of a lot of political trouble in the region, they were called upon by the prince of the great Moravian Empire. The prince, his name was Rostislav, and he wanted them to come and bring the Christian gospel to these people who were all pagan at that time. And they did, but the political motivation was that they wanted somebody from the east rather than from the west, because the Frankish Empire in the 9th century was trying to get control of the Slavic land. And so Cyril and Methodius went. Well, Cyril, or Constantine as he was, he didn't really invent the Cyrillic alphabet as is commonly thought. His students actually did. The alphabet that Cyril invented was actually called the Glagolithic alphabet, which it looks like a lot of squiggles and circles. But later his students then used Greek letters where they could, and then added new letters to make up for the Slavic sounds that didn't exist in Greek. At any rate, they translated portions of the Bible, the liturgy, and a number of hymns, and they were in the language of the people. And this is why it's so important for mission work today. Remember, it was Martin Luther that is so famous for translating the Bible into German so that the common man could read the Bible. Well, a half a millennium before Luther, Cyril and Methodius had the same idea. The only problem was that in the end, the Frankish Empire did win the day through force and conquered the lands, and then they outlawed the use of Cyrillic and the Slavic language, or what was called the Old Slavonic Old Church Slavonic, I guess it was called, and so they that was then outlawed, and Latin took over, and then a great period of darkness during the Middle Ages occurred because people obviously couldn't understand it, but in the end, the Pope John Paul the II, believe it or not, at the 1100th anniversary of Cyril and Methodius, apologized for the harm that the Frankish Church, or basically the Church of the West, brought upon the Slavic people, and prayed that Christianity would continue there.
So what did they find? What did Cyril and Methodius find there among the Slavs? What was the native religion? What were the challenges that they faced as missionaries, in addition to, obviously, the language, as you've talked about here?
Well, in those days, you know, the king of the country sort of decided for the country what religion they would be. And so prior to Christianity, they were, you know, pagans. The Celts came through there, and I guess I don't know exactly what kind of religion it was, but when King Prince Rostislav asked for these missionaries to come, it was basically the missionaries' job to come and explain what Christianity was, and the people were, by the king, pretty much ordered to embrace it. And that was like the Christianizing of the Slavic people in those days. And, you know, it wasn't like it is today. But all I can say is that it was quite successful. It was very successful, in fact, because they were preaching to the people and teaching the people in their own native language.
You said that their missionary careers or their efforts kind of ended with a whimper. What were you referring to?
Well, because the Frankish Church, or the Western Church from Germany and France, basically forced their will upon, they basically won the war, you might say, the wars of those times, and suppressed the use of the language and the vernacular, and moved the church into the mass in Latin and all teaching done in Latin, and so that the common man then lost his access to the Word of God if he didn't know Latin, you know.
It sounds like, at least with respect to mission work in the vernacular, they were ahead of their time.
They were exceedingly ahead of their time. In fact, I mean, we always think of Luther as being the inventor of it, but he was kind of in his own time too. But it was not something that was uncommon to the church. In fact, Cyril was called back to Rome because of accusations made against him for syncretism, because he was using this strange language of these people, And so he was called to Rome, and then he presented the Pope at that time with the different liturgical books and the liturgy or the missal and stuff, and hymns and parts of the Bible that were translated into the language of the people. And the Pope basically exonerated him. But two popes later, basically he sided with the politics from the West, and then they pretty much squelched it then.
That highlights what was apparently a missionary reality for them then, and I'm sure you can speak to this, remains one for the modern missionary. And that is, while your effort is a spiritual endeavor to go preach the gospel, to establish the pulpit, the altar, the font, to train pastors, all of those things, it's never without its mixture into the bigger world of politics, local politics, politics from home, all of that kind of stuff. Talk about that, if you would.
Well, that's true, but I would say that it's less so now because the world that we live in some ways, thanks to America, the whole world is trying, at least in the old world, to divide the role of the state from the role of the church. Even here in the Czech Republic, in the last 2 years, they finally have come to an agreement whereby the state will pay off the churches for what they stole from them, from their property under communism and so on, over 17 years. It's kind of a long process, but kind of like a house loan, but they'll be paying back the churches what they owe them. And after those 17 years are over, there will be no connection between the church and state like in the old days. In the old days, the church and the state were so married to each other that if the church had a grievance and wanted to get something done, they had the military of the state behind them.
What is the biggest challenge that you and other missionaries in the Czech Republic face today?
Well, in this particular place, the biggest challenge is the fact that so affected by the atheism of communism. Communism was the most successful in Czechoslovakia, any of their countries in the former Soviet Union. So many people are, call themselves atheists, but if you get to talking to them, you'll find out that they're not really atheists. They're probably some kind of agnostic, and are more willing to listen to the gospel than you might expect. But people oftentimes use the term "I'm an atheist," but then you have to kind of find out what that really means in their mind. It doesn't really mean they're atheists. It means that they're agnostic. Basically, they think there might be something there, but they don't know what it is. And maybe they care and maybe they don't. But the one thing I found was that once you could engage somebody in a conversation about the gospel, if a person was moved or interested, they listened. And if they joined, if they became baptized and so on, they're like members for life. I've had lots of rejection, but not hardly any people that have walked away from it after they've been in it for a while.
Pastor James Krikova is our guest. We're remembering 9th century missionaries to the Slav Cyril Methodius and talking a bit about the state of Christianity and of Lutheranism in the Czech Republic. We'll be right back. Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Hey, St. Louis. How would you like to achieve your fitness goals in a fun and supportive atmosphere? Hi, this is Kevin Reisick, owner and operator of Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois. We offer adult boot camps throughout the week. These camps include cardiovascular conditioning, muscular strength and endurance training, balance and coordination activities, and more. For more information, give me a call at 618-670-6952. Arch Fitness of East Alton, Illinois, 618-670-6952.
Casting Christ's net on the internet. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Pastor Donald Jordan welcoming you to Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church in Chico, California. We stand upon the inspired, inerrant Word of God and preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Students at Chico State and Butte College are welcome to our college group. Our divine service is at 10 and Sunday school at 9. We are located at 750 Moss Avenue, and our website is RedeemerChico.org.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a donation of $100 to Issues Etc. To donate online, fill out the registration form at issuesetc.org and insert scholarship in the first name field. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues Etc., write scholarship in the memo line, and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking to Pastor James Krikova this afternoon on Issues Etc. about 9th century missionary to the Slavs, Cyril and Methodius. The church remembers them on May the 11th. We're talking a little bit about the state of Christianity and Lutheranism in the Czech Republic. You spoke before the break about the success of atheism there, in particular in the former Czechoslovakia. Is it, in essence, a young generation that's been raised in nothing else than an atheistic worldview?
I think so. I guess from my own experience, I've had people of all ages come to faith. I think it's always kind of that way. And maybe there's more young people who are thinking about it. Certainly, as we're marching on in time, the cloud of the past is dissipating a bit, and so I suppose you'd say younger people are people that you talk to more because they don't have that effect. But of course, you know, the whole world is becoming quite secular, and so in some ways you could say our mission work over here, except for the language, is a lot like the mission work we do in the United States that's become so very secular, too.
What's changed the most in the last 16 years for you in your experience there?
Well, of course, when we moved here right after the Velvet Revolution in 1989. We came in 1990, and we probably came a little bit too early because infrastructure and everything was broken down and governmental offices were in chaos, and so life was very difficult. But certainly now, after all these years, the country has gotten on its feet. They've become a member of the Europe, and the country has been rebuilt in a remarkable way. It's really a testimony to capitalism in a way. It's always a kind of a surprise. In fact, they're quite surprised when America sort of turns a little bit south or towards socialistic ideas. They certainly are surprised by that because they know just how it doesn't work.
How would you describe the state of Lutheranism in the Czech Republic today?
Well, that's also a difficult history. Believe it or not, in seminary, you know, in America, you usually learn about how the gospel went from Luther's Germany to north to the Scandinavian countries where there was great success and it was a wonderful thing. But the Reformation also went south as far as Serbia, or modern-day Serbia. And in Bohemia alone, and Bohemia is just the western third of old Czechoslovakia, or the western half of the new Czech Republic, that had 800 Lutheran congregations during the Reformation. So that's how fast the Reformation spread. And one of the congregations was a very famous one, in the town of Joachimsthal, where Johannes, the pastor, and he was the last student of Martin Luther. He wrote the last third of Luther's Table Talks. And the cantor, or the organist, choir director at his church, was Nicholas Hermann. And we're still singing his great hymns to this day. So Lutheranism was very strong down here. And one thing for mission work, talking about mission work, is that when we can tell the Czech people who are here today, who know very little about that part of their past, that we actually belong here, we're part of their history, they warm up to us a lot faster than, say, for example, other churches that are coming in here, like Methodism or you know, God forbid, Jehovah Witnesses and Mormons and stuff. But when they hear about Mormons or something that's from outside their culture completely, they're sort of disinterested automatically. But when you talk about the history of Lutheranism in this part of the world, people become very interested very quickly because they can attach the Lutheran history to different kings and princes from their own past, and there are lots of connections, believe it or not. In fact, one very famous Lutheran was hung on the Old Town Square at the beginning of the 30 Years' War in 1620, when the Catholics mounted their attack against the Czechs in the Battle of White Mountain just west of Prague. They beat the Czechs and they hung the 27 Lords of Prague, many of whom were Lutherans, on the Old Town Square. And that was one of the reasons why Gustavus Adolphus came to Prague and actually conquered Prague in 1631. But, of course, he moved on from there, and eventually it went the other way.
Finally, then, Pastor Krikova, as the Church remembers on this day Cyril and Methodius, what would you say is the simplest thing to remember about these two brother missionaries?
Well, first of all, I'll say one quick thing, and that is that today is not Cyril and Methodius Day in this country. It's celebrated on various days in various parts of the country. In this country, it is an actual national holiday, and it's on July 5th. And it was placed on July 5th because they made a national holiday on July 6th for John Huss. So the sort of like the Protestants get one day and the Catholics get another day. But it is an actual federal holiday where people get off of work. But I think the one thing to remember about Cyril and Methodius, it's really not so unlike what Jesus said Luke 10, where he sent the 70 out two by two into the world, and that's just what Cyril and Methodius did, and they brought the gospel in good faith to people who lived in darkness, and it had a glorious effect.
Before we let you go, you're the Luther Academy Fellow for Europe, and Luther Academy recently sponsored a conference in Poland. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, we have a new director at Luther Academy, Dr. Robert Bennett, who did his PhD work on a kind of an off the subject from here, but on demon possession and exorcism, studying the people of Madagascar. Well, I was telling some of the people around here where we were going to hold the conference about it, and they were exceedingly interested in the subject. And so I invited Bob to come down and be our keynote speaker, and that was held in Wisla, Poland. And it's sort of in the middle of where there are quite a few Lutherans, different Lutherans, Polish Lutherans, Polish Silesian Lutherans, Czech Silesian Lutherans, Slovaks, Moravians, and those from where I live in Prague, the Bohemians. And we had a very nice turnout. The place was full. We couldn't hold any more people. The registration was that good. And we had a number of different scholars that talked about how Luther viewed demon possession and how he dealt with it, how the churches dealt with cases of it in the Reformation time. And then, of course, Bob brought in how the Malagasy people in Madagascar are viewing it and dealing with it. It was a very, very interesting subject with a lot of good exchange. And what it really did bring to light was the words of the Mighty Fortress. The first verse really gives the devil his due. It says at the end, on earth is not his equal. But then the second verse shows how Christ defeats him, for us fights the valiant one. And so it was just And those conferences we're doing more and more of because of my involvement with Eastern Europe. I've been doing it in Eastern Europe. Last year we had it in Czech Silesia. The year before that it was in Prague. Next year it's going to be in Žilina, which is part of, which is in Slovakia. And then we hope, not for sure yet, but we hope that in 2017 we'll be able to hold something at the newly dedicated Latin school in Wittenberg. So we have lots of great things to look forward to, and there is lots of interest. And it's so gratifying to see these pastors from these churches where their religious training or their theological training in Lutheranism is not exactly up to speed like we might like to see it, but they want it to be. And so they very much welcome these Luther Academy lectures. And it's just such a joy to put them together.
Folks, you can find out more about the Christ-centered, cross-focused mission work of Luther Academy at lutheracademy.com. Be sure to sign up to get their free email newsletter, lutheracademy.com, serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy. Pastor James Krikova is Associate Region Director for Eurasian Missions for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Spent 16 years as a missionary to Czechoslovakia and the Czech Republic, and he's Luther Academy Regional Fellow for Europe. He joined us from Prague. Pastor Krikova, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you so much for having me on. I can't believe that you can do this over the phone.
When we come back, we'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker, host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We will be in and then out of prison with Paul and Silas in Acts chapter 16.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
What does it mean to be a Christian woman in our feminized secular society? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is Ladylike, Living Biblically. Browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Ladylike by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. A great Mother's Day gift, Ladylike, Living Biblically, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May.
Steadfast Lutherans, people who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
Trinity Orchard Farm is settled between two rivers, showing the way to the water of life. For worship that is reverent, relevant, and refreshing like pure water, or for excellent education in a unique setting, check out our church and school. We're just 5 miles north of Highway 370 on Highway 94 in St. Charles County. Visit us on the web at trinityorchardfarm.com. That's trinityorchardfarm.com. Our phone number is 636-250-3350.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler, or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Hollywood's attitude toward Christianity, the Bible's influence on the U.S. Constitution, the decline of biblical preaching, the connection between biblical illiteracy and Western morality.
You'll find these essays and more in the new book, The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, The Place of the Holy Scriptures in the Faith and Life of Confessional Lutherans. Check it out at shop.logia.org. The Word They Still Shall Let Remain, shop.logia.org.